Praise God. If you have your copy of God's Word tonight, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. You know, somebody said to me the other day, "Say you're always reading two verses of Scripture." And I don't know why I'm reading two verses of Scripture. It just happens that way. And but I like to read two, I guess, one from the old and one from the new, right? And but I want to read out of Psalms chapter 1. That'll be kind of our text Scripture tonight. And then I want to turn over and read a verse of Scripture out of the book of Philippians. And so Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 1 can be one of my favorite verses of Scripture. How many of you got favorite verses of Scripture? I have about 150,000 favorite verses of Scripture. But this is one of my favorite. It's one of the first Scriptures that I ever memorized. And I guess it was because I needed to memorize it because of the context of it. But it was one of my favorite verses of Scripture. The book of Psalms chapter 1, Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree," I love that, "planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Woo, that's a good word. That's a good word right there. How many like to have that kind of life that backs up whatever you do, you prosper? My Lord. Oh, I could stop right there and we could have church just right on that verse of Scripture. "The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." Now, that doesn't mean not stand in the judgment as the judgment of God because they're ungodly. In other words, they're not going to be judged. It's talking about the judgment of the righteous, the rewards of the righteous. "Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And if you'll turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 13, I'm going to stir your faith up a little bit more. The Bible tells us that verse 13 of Philippians 4, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I mean, no, that's a good verse of Scripture. I mean, those are two powerful Scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We've been talking about restoration. We've been talking about grace and the power to change. But Sunday I began talking about restoration in our lives and restoration. And everybody at one time or another, if you've walked long enough with God, you have felt like you have lost something. Time, life took something from you, took something out of you. You may be here tonight and felt like that life has taken the best years of your life, maybe the most out of you, stole maybe your innocence. Maybe your business had been stolen, or maybe by your divorce or something you've walked through, you've lost an inheritance or you've had great loss. But everybody feels like they've lost something in life. Maybe you're here tonight and the economy that began to tank in the mid first part of this millennial in 2005 or 6 or 7 or 8 when the economy began to die. Maybe you lost your retirement. Maybe you lost your job and was laid off. Maybe you had to lose your home, or maybe you've lost family members. And so you've experienced life, loss in your life. But God tells us that we really haven't lost, because Joel chapter 2 tells us that, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, and you shall eat plenty and be satisfied." And it says that we shall praise the name of the Lord our God, and all of his people shall never be put to shame. So there's a promise in the Word of God that though we lose things in this life, we can always replace a car. How many know you can always replace a car? You can replace a house, right? and you can always restore your credit. But time we can't replace. We lose time. But God says and tells us that though we have lost time, we can get that time got back, and only God can give that back to us that has been wasted or that has been lost. Somebody may be here tonight and you say, well, I've battled depression the last 4 years, and so I've missed out on a lot I could have accomplished or a lot I could have done. Well, you didn't lose it, because Proverbs 6 says that the thief, if he be found, must restore back 7 times what he has stolen. And how many know that the Bible says the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy? And so if the thief be found, as Proverbs 6 says, he must restore back to you 7 times. And so you may be in here tonight and you've felt like there's been a part of your life that has been stolen, and that you feel like you may never get that back. But I can tell you that we don't live in the natural time of this world, but we're governed by the kingdom of God. And so God can restore back to us that which the enemy has stolen and lost, and he can redeem that time back to your life and put you back in the back right relationship with God. And so we talked about redeeming the time, restoration. And then Sunday we talked a little bit about the man with the withered hand. Jesus saw him and he told him to reach his hand out. And he didn't heal his hand, but the Bible says he restored his hand. He brought restoration to his hand. In other words, the word restored there means to create a new structure. In other words, he didn't heal what was there. A new hand grew back when Jesus prayed for him. And so this restoration principle, when you read this in Scripture, is clear, is that the man was in the crowd, but Jesus told him, he said, step forward. Step forward, stretch out your hand. And Jesus healed his hand. And so if I want God to bring restoration to my life and to my path and restore those things which I've been lost, by the example of this man whose hand was restored, we need to be like the man with the withered hand, that we just need to step forward, move forward in God. And as we move forward in God, we know this, that God can reach back into our past and take that which was stolen from us and restore it back to us as we move into the future. Right? And so God has the ability to do that. But what happens with us is that we want to do and try to go back and get it ourselves. Right? We want to fix it all ourselves, in our hands. We want to right every wrong that has been done to us. We want an apology for everything and every offense that has come our way. People who have wronged us, stole our innocence, stole our inheritance, violated our lives, abused us, wronged us. And we want to stay there, and we don't want to go anywhere else until we can reach back and make those people who have wronged us to make those things right, because we feel like we can't move forward until we do that. But the truth is, we just got to believe that Jesus will restore and step forward. And as we step forward, he will reach back and take that which had been lost and restore it. Not only restore it, but redeem the time and give it back to us as we move forward in God. But if you don't move forward, you become stuck where you are. And I've known people that God has had his hand on their life all of their life, but they're always stuck. Come on, y'all help me tonight. Because you've known people like that. You've known people that have had great potential in their life, but they remain stuck because they always want to play God and go back and fix what had happened to them, or fix what they feel like has been wrong and never can get past it, so they never move forward. And so as we talked about Sunday, they're always on the back row. That don't mean literally on the back row, right? But it means They never want to move forward. They never engage in God again, never engage in God's purpose for their life again, and never engage in God's destiny for their life. And so they want to go back, but they become stuck where they are. And so you've got to keep moving forward, believing that God will go back and fix and bring into your future. So the word restore there means to bring new structure. It means to restructure. Now, the word there is interesting. It means to bring restructure. So it means that when God restructures you or restores your life, to restructure means you might have to change the way you deal with people, right? You may have to change, you have to maybe have to manage your marriage different or manage your relationships different. Or you may have to reconstruct who you date and who you don't date, right? See, I ain't getting no amens tonight. But I believe I got the right crowd. But you might have to restructure your friends. Restructure who you hanging with. Maybe you have to restructure how you handle your money. Right? So, why is that? Because God is not just trying to restore you back to where you were. Because if He took you back to where you were, it's there in the first place that you got robbed. And so God doesn't just want to take you back to where you were. He wants to create a new structure in your life so that there could be, when He brings restoration, there could be verifiable change in your life so that you don't get taken again. So the enemy don't steal from you again. You restructure your life so that you make sure that that which had been taken from you doesn't happen again because you've restructured your life. You've made come step forward. You've moved forward in your life. You've allowed God to restructure your faith and restructure your love for Him, or restructured areas of your life that were lacking, that maybe the enemy took advantage of you before. And so God wants to restore that. And so we can't just shout about restoration. We have to participate in the restoration that God does for us. In other words, we've got to do our part in it. And I love the psalm that we just read because it says, whatsoever He does, He shall what? He shall prosper. It says He shall, whatever He does. A man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, whatever he does, he shall prosper. And God wants to take us from a place to where we're walking with a withered hand and we have loss and stuck in our life, and take us to the place in our life where God restores us to the place and have you walking in the place that whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you touch, whatever you're involved in, whatever that you put your hand to, prospers. Amen. How about that for a church? That whatever we do, we shall prosper. Right? We're not going to be a withered hand church. Right? There's times we may need a little bit of restoration, but we're not going to get stuck. Come on. Somebody help me. I am not going to get stuck as a pastor in something that happened yesterday to keep me from moving forward today. There may be things that happen that we could very easily remain stuck in and maybe have good justification to do so. But if we're going to go where God wants us to go and get to the place that wherever we touch and whatever we do shall prosper, we've got to step forward like the withered hand man and just believe that Jesus is going to make it all right. Ha-ha! I feel preach coming on. Because that's what God wants in our life. To prosper means to succeed or to make progress. The word means to advance. But here's what the best word is. The root word means this in the Hebrew. It means to go over or through a river. Right? There's some things that in order to prosper, we've got to have God help us get through and go over. We've got to do our parts and allow God to work it and do it for us. Prosperity just doesn't come in our body just because we want it to come. We've got to take the steps to put our lives in order and make sure that everything and every I is dotted and every T is crossed, that God, we can put ourselves into position to where God can bless us and we can be a prosperous church. Whether you own a nail salon or mow lawns or whether you're a preacher, whatsoever you do, you shall prosper. Huh? Whether you make hamburgers, whether you paint, whether you own the biggest company in the state of Indiana, or whether you sit on the judge's seat in this city or county, God wants our lives to be the place to where whatever we do, wherever we are, we shall prosper. Even, it doesn't matter what it is, even in the smallest things, God will allow us to prosper. Whatever I'm doing, Lord, bring prosperity to whatever we're doing. Whether it's pouring juice for the kids back in the children's church, huh? Or whether it's being on the radio or whatever we do, may you let us prosper. Now, how do we get there? There's two ways that the scripture tells us that we prosper. One, now I'm gonna look, I told you a few weeks ago that I was gonna push on you. So don't blame me for some of this stuff I'm preaching. I just happened to write it down. I just happened to get it and write it down. I'm just the messenger. Is it all right if I could be the messenger and you still love me when we finish up tonight? Huh? Yeah, okay. I got one vote. It's on. But there's two ways the scripture tells us. It says that one by counsel and two by the congregation that we're in is how we prosper. Now, have you ever had any information from somebody you just wish you never did have that information? You never did take their advice, huh? You ever took advice from somebody and you said, oh, dear God, I'll never listen to that guy again or that dude again, huh? Anybody ever give you instruction on how to do something? Right? Yeah, very recently, Dave said. When I first got saved, I had everyone in my family think that I lost my mind. They all were sitting down giving me counsel. I don't know about that church down there. I don't know. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'll tell you what I would do. They're upset because God set me free in my life. And I no longer dope and drink and steal from them and take from them, right? And cuss at them and flatten their tires, break their windows, throw fruit at them at Thanksgiving, hit them with chicken legs, right? Yeah, I've done all of that. They like that more than they liked it when I got free and I loved on them and I blessed them and I acted right and had like I had some sense. They're like, what's wrong with Shane? We got to get him back like he was. Right? You ever had family give you counsel on? They're going to counsel you about getting back to where you were. Right? And so, I'll tell you what. Well, it's just, you've been telling me long enough. It's time for you to just shut up because what you've told me has not helped. But we've sought counsel. And so it says, seek counsel. Before, you know, I'll just be honest with you. Before Grandma's going to talk to me about marriage, I got to know what Grandma's marriage was like. I mean, I had people set me down and want to talk to me about marriage and been married 14, 17, 16 times. And this is how you pick a lady, right? So, that's ugly. I shouldn't have said that. But that's the truth. It happens. And so, but each and every step in God that we take, every level, every step toward the destiny that God has for us, there will always be a certain amount of resistance to get there. Every step of faith, every step of growth, every step of destiny, every progress that you make in your life, whether it be your personal life, whether it be the corporate life of this church, whether it be what you're doing, every step you take, if you're living for God, there is going to be some resistance to you getting to the place and the destiny that you are. There's an irony behind that. When Israel was getting ready to go into the promised land, and God told them to take Jericho. Jericho was all shut up and was all, you know, surrounded. So somebody had to get in there on the other side of that wall and come back and tell them what it takes in order to live on the other side of that wall, or to get on the other side of that wall. And so the spies came back and said, "We can't do it. We like grasshoppers to them." Isn't that what they said? They said, there's giants on the other side of that wall. Now that's how we feel about our progress sometimes in God. We say, well, there's giants on the other side of that wall. There's giants on the other side of that step of faith of what I'm believing in and what I can get to. There's giants over there. I got to thinking about that and I thought, man, a group of people who just seen God part the Red Sea, who just seen God destroy Pharaoh's army in a day, who was being fed every morning out of the sky, who was given a cloud by day to keep them cool and a fire at night to keep them warm, who water came out of a rock, and they had a, I can't believe they had a, they were the type of people that had a hard time believing that God would take care, that they were folks that were scared of a bunch of tall people. Right? They're saying, we are grasshoppers and they're giants. In other words, you know, I don't know if we can make it over there. I don't know if we can make it in that land of the giants. I don't know if we can live there. I don't know if we got the maturity to go there. I don't know if we got the ability to go there. It's always funny when God calls a group of people to do something or to go somewhere, or an individual, or maybe you personally in your life, when God speaks to you to do something, it's not always the easiest way that God speaks to you to do it. It's not always going to be the easiest trail. God is always going to expect you to do something that you know in yourself you cannot do yourself. It's just the economy. It's the irony of what God asks us to do. And it's like that in discipleship. If you ever want to go to a level in God of maturity and a place in God, when you take steps of discipleship in your life, you've got to take steps. There's always going to be a walled city. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be a difficulty that's going to be in front of you. And there's going to be a point where you've got to say, I know that there's giants over there. And I know that I look like a grasshopper compared to the obstacle that God has put in front of me in order to get where God wants me to be in God. But I'm going to trust in God anyway, because He promises me that what shall, if I'm righteous and if I listen to the right counsel, that whatever I do and wherever I go, I shall prosper. Right? And so some people just, each time God, it's like in my own life, each time God wanted me to go to a place of maturity in my own life, He always gave me a glimpse of someone who lived at that level, at that greater level in my life. And I'd come back out of that. It's funny how God will work in your life. He'll put people around you, or He'll allow you to be around people who have certain giftings in their life that you like or that you wish you had in your life. But what God will do is that God will allow you to get a glimpse of their life so that you know the price that it takes in order to get to where you want to get in your life. It's the same way with churches. God will give you a glimpse, give us a glimpse of folks who have stepped out by faith, who have done it by faith. And He gives us a glimpse of how they've done it. And so we have to measure whether we're willing to go there, whether we're willing to pay the price in order to get what they have gotten through faith. And so when you walk with God, God sometimes will allow you a glimpse into people's lives. I always add a desire. Listen, here's a principle in your walk with God. Always seek out people. Always seek out people in your life who have or possess where you want to go in God and what you want to be in God. Always seek out people who've got there. Always seek out people who have made it. In other words, if you believe God's called you to own a business, you find somebody that has made a successful business and get around them and find out what the price is in order for me to be successful in that business. If you want to be a nurse, or if you want to be a lawyer, or whatever you want to be, find somebody that you can surround your life with, that you can learn and assess whether or not the price that it takes to get there is worth paying. It's maturity in God. And there's one certain level of faith is like this, is that faith that is designed, listen, there are certain levels of faith that are designed for certain kinds of people to go. Listen, you can't not have a prayer life and expect God to put you in a ministry in intercession. Right? You can't be angry and don't like people and expect God to put you over people to be an encourager for their life. Right? So, in order to go certain places in God or to reach certain destinies in God, in other words, you have to come to the place to where you realize that there's certain places that only you can go by perseverance in your life, by pushing through in your life, by discipline in your life. Right? And so God is always pushing on our life, and but there's always resistance to maturity. There's always resistance. He told them to go into the promised land. Jericho was shut up. It was a fortified city. It was designed to keep people out. But God said, take the city. Take the city. And so the Bible said to Joshua, listen, I like Joshua and Caleb. The Bible said that they were of a different kind of spirit. In other words, they said, look, we're going to take this city. We can, of the 10 spies that went, they said, look, we can take this thing. We can take this. And it goes to show you there's always going to be people who want to move forward in God, always want to move forward in God, always trusting in God, even though they don't always have the answer. How many know sometimes we've got to step in faith to trust God, even though we don't always know the answer or how God's going to work it out? We just got to trust that He's going to do it, right? But if we know that we're living in right counsel with the Word of God, that wherever we go shall prosper. It doesn't matter if it's a city that's shut up and belted down and it's got hundreds of soldiers on the other side. If we're right with God and we're following Him, it's not our problem for God to work out how we're going to take that city. He'll work it out. We just got to be faithful and do it. Right? And so some of us in our life, in our walk as a church, there's got to be some things we just got to trust God. We're never going to have the answer up front. We're not going to know how He's going to do it. We don't know how He's going to bring the wall down. We don't know how we're going to break through. We just got to be obedient and walk in faith and believe that wherever we step, wherever we go, our feet shall prosper. Right? I don't know how you break the glass ceiling to the youth in this city. I don't know how you break through and win this city or win the lost in this city. I don't have all the answers. Right? But if we're obedient and listen to God and do what God says, all we've got to do is just step on the ground and we know that we're prosperous because wherever we go, we're prosperous. And whatever we do, we succeed at if we're right with God. Because that's what God wants us to do. And so the problem is that we're waiting on God who strengthens us. But we forget about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. It says, it doesn't say I wait and God does. Right? See, this has been against a lot of your theology all your life. You're waiting on somebody else to do it. Right? We all looking at each other. Well, you go do it. You go do it. You go do it. You go feed the homeless in this. Well, you go reach the youth. You go do it. Right? Well, let the young folks do it. No, let the old folks do it. Let the preacher do it all. And when he has a nervous breakdown, we get another one. I need some help in here tonight. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua and Caleb said, look, we can take this city. And all they had to do was wait for another generation to come along to come in agreement with them. And when another generation came along and said, look, Moses is dead, it was all good, but this is a new generation. They did what they needed to do in God. This is a new day. This is a new time. Moses waited 40 years, but we're going to wait 3 days. 3 days we're crossing that place, and we're taking over in just 3 days. The Bible said Joshua and Caleb had a different kind of spirit. And I'm sure tonight that you are well able to do what God has called you to do, well able to grow in God, well able to take the next level of your life, well able to be disciplined, well able to get to the next level of discipline in your life to succeed in what God has for your life so that you don't remain stuck where you are. And those who prosper, they don't wither, the Bible says. And there are certain kinds of counsel that they listen to and certain kinds of people that they congregate with. Right? Now, I may not get through it all tonight, but I at least want to get through one of them. And so it says there in Psalms 1, it tells us, they shall, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, it means somebody giving you wisdom or knowledge that gives you a somewhat of a snapshot of what life is like as they live it. See, counsel... When we seek counsel, how many know the Bible says that there's wisdom in many counselors? And so when you seek counsel, when you seek out wisdom from people, what they're doing is they're giving you a snapshot, or they're giving you a picture, or they're opening the door to their world of what it costs them to be where they are. They're giving them a look into, to, you know, you see somebody and you say, I want to be like them. I want to love God like they love God. I want to worship God like they worship God. I want to step into the realm of faith that they have. And so God will sometimes through counsel give you a snapshot of what kind of faith they have so that you can see. I thank God as I walk through life, God gave me glimpses of people's life that built faith in me. That said, hey, I want to get to the kind of faith they have in life. Right? And there have been men that God has placed in my life that I thank God for the relationships. I remember the first millionaire I was ever around, Mark. It was Christmas time, and he invited a bunch of couples to his house. And see, I'm used to eating like, you know, tacos, burritos. And I lived in the Timothy house, which was the preacher's boy's house, and we had government cheese and peanut butter. And so when me and Laura got married, we moved up to hamburger. Helper. And so we were invited to this guy's house in our church. His name was Michael Ryan. He invited some of the young preachers and their wives over to have a Christmas dinner. And we walked in there, and I walked in, and I'd never been in anything like that, see? See, I always fought everybody for my food. I had 6 kids in my family, and see, if it was one chicken, you fought, you just first comes, first dibs, like, right? And so we get to Mike's house, and we come in, and they've got like 4 plates in one setting. 6 spoons and 7 forks and 3 knives. I'm like, dear God, are we staying all week? And so after I got amazed by where they lived, we sat down to eat, and it was like a 7-course meal. And like the first course was like soup. Now, anytime I ever ate soup, it was like broth. It was just broth, right? I mean, that wasn't an appetizer. I'm like, soup. But I get up there and get some soup, and it's got like crab lobster tail in it. and big old shrimp and like fish. And I'm like, Laura, look at this soup. You will not believe this soup. I'm like, dear, look at the lobster tail. That's get over here. Look at that. And I'm like dumping it. You know, I couldn't believe how huge the shrimp were. And so we ate. But Michael Ryan was always a man in my life. I always loved being around him because I loved the excellence in his life. Everything he did with excellence. He didn't do anything that was shoddy. He did it right. He did it the right way. And so when I got around him and saw that, I thought, God, I want my life to be like that. Everything I want to do, I want excellence in my life, all the way from the way I dress, can't you tell? To the way I keep my car, to the way I try to keep my home, right? And it built excellence in my life. And so what it did was God, through counsel, gave me a glimpse into somebody's life that I desired, and I knew God could take me to that place. I just had to experience it, Mark. And trust God in it. And many times in our life, God will give us people in our lives that can help us step through. Jacob Aranza, I love the way he communicated. I always went to him and said, Jacob, I love, just pray for me that I can preach like you and talk like you and communicate like you. I mean, he talked to 7 million high school students in just a few years. He was a great storyteller. I get his tapes and listen to him. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? If we want to go to the next level, if we want to go to certain areas of our life, levels in our life, we've got to find that place of excellence, that place that God, and find people and attach ourselves to them and learn from them and go ahead and step into what God has for us. Ha, ha, ha. And so God brought men into my life. Tom Craner, man that owned his own business. But he always had a word of wisdom because he was always in the Word of God. Had a huge transportation company, but he was always reading the Word, and it was always impressed me. And so, can I just say this? Listen, y'all think that I bring people in here to preach sometimes, and you say, well, you know, why are you bringing him or her? Or why do you bring Bob Rogers? Why do you bring, you know, a Tim Story? Right? Why do you do that? I'll tell you why. Because when you get a glimpse into what God has used them to do, if we could ever get to the place to where we have the kind of faith that Bob Rogers has lived his life by, we'll change this city. We'll revolutionize. Now, we don't need to be just like Bob. We need to do it the way we do it. But some of us don't have any idea of the price that has been paid for him, the faith that it's taken for him to build what God has allowed him to build. And the truth is if we get around people that have been successful like that, and we see how they've honored God and loved God and walk with God, and we attach ourselves to that and bless that and allow that to be a part of our congregation, we can learn a little bit about faith, right? We can learn a little bit about God taking us to another level and trusting God. And so it's not that people are my friends. I bring giftings in here because why? I want to transfer that gifting that's on their life into this body. Huh? How many minutes I got? 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Listen. I don't bring Tim Story in here because he knows Hollywood people. He traveled 9 years with Oral Roberts, sat with Morris Cirillo, was an intercessor with Marilyn Hickey, cleaned her set and carried her books and traveled with her and just listened and listened. And then when God released him, he saw all the years, the faith that was there. And so when I saw the anointing for miracles in his life, I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great if God could do that in our church? If we could be a kind of church that just has the faith to believe miracles can happen in people's lives. Because that's what God wants his best for us, right? Oh me, right? Hallelujah. I mean, who's your counsel tonight? Who counsels your life? You want to be in ministry? You really want to be in? You better find out what the price is to be in ministry. You want to own your own business? You better find out what the price is to own your own business. What it's like if you miss your payroll tax every quarter? What happens to you? Or what happened? What is it like to carry the burden of being responsible for 40, 50, hundreds of people payroll every week, knowing that it's your business that feeds their life? Right? You want to be this, or you want to do that, or you want to serve God in this way, and you don't really know the price. But here's the thing. Here's the gap that's in our Christian life. If you can't trust God, now, I'm going to go there, but forgive me. Listen, if you can't trust God to pay tithe on $200, right? If you don't have enough faith to believe God to pay tithe on $200, what makes you think God's going to allow you to be responsible for $1,000 or $10,000 or to run a corporation or to step into a place of faith in your life? If you can't believe, if you can't get up in the morning and read a, if you can't get up in the morning and read a little bit of the Word of God, and pray for a few minutes and seek out the counsel of the Word of God and read His book at least once a day, maybe once a week, right? Then how is God going to give you spiritual discernment and insight into how to reach a city if you don't spend any time in prayer or in the Word? Why would God, why would God give us 500 people or 300 people if when we get 100 people, we fight and run 50 of them off every time we get 100? Ha-ha. See, this is the gap that we're talking about. And a mature church knows how to reach out and grab what God has for them, but go to another level. But to go to another level, you got to tighten the belt. You got to be disciplined. You got to be willing to do what God says. You got to be willing to tap into the things that you don't have and call them as though you got them, though you don't have them yet. Right? I mean, that's what it's going to take to be a mature church. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you all tonight, I am not going to be a social church. I'm not going to do that way. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to patty cake. There's eternity that is involved in people's lives. People are going to hell, and they need some place to tell them the truth and that the gospel's real and that Jesus can set them free. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. They got to do it right and truthfully. And believe God for it. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, my God. I wish I had a minute. He said, blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, nor sit in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of scorn. You know what the seat of the scornful is? The seat is the scornful is people who sit in the seat and criticize others who have been blessed. Right? How can God bless you if you're a hater of blessed people? Come on now. The church people are the only people that get upset at people who find success and get blessed in their life. Listen, it's not their family. It's the people they go to church. Well, he didn't get that. He don't deserve, she don't deserve that. You know, I know her past. I know where she come from. I know, they don't, why does she get and I don't get? And why do they get and I don't get? I'll tell you why they get and you don't get. Because somewhere in their life, they decided to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but to seek God and be faithful in God. And God is rewarding faithfulness in their life. Oh, if I could. Listen. We all need to hear this. We all need to know this. Because God wants to bless us. He said, Habakkuk said, write the vision down and make it plain that they that read it run with it. Write the vision down so that they can see it plain. And they that read it, it didn't say that Habakkuk could run with it. It said they that read it run with it. Ha ha. How about take the vision of your life and write it down? And the people that are being connected in your life will take that vision up and see where you want to go and will be a part of the destiny that God has for your life. Ha ha. Praise God. Hallelujah. You will learn quickly. Listen, we as a church, one thing I know about destiny and the will of God for you, and as a corporate body. Now, I know I look young, but I have walked this thing a little bit. I don't know everything, but I do know this one thing about God's will. I do know this. Whatever you get, wherever you go, wherever we go as a church, we won't get there by ourselves. This church won't get there because I'm your preacher. I can guarantee you that today. Right? We won't get there. Doesn't matter who's in the church individually. And it doesn't matter in your life. If you're going to get someplace in your life, God is going to, there's always going to be a place in your life when you will need people to surround you, to help you get to where you got. Some of the things and blessings that you've gotten in your life, you didn't get that on yourself. Somebody somewhere saw mercy on you and helped you get where you got. And if this church is ever going to get to the place to where God is going to bless us, it's going to take more than just a personality behind this pulpit. It'll take more than just somebody on that piano. It'll take more than somebody in the pew with a big wallet. It'll take everybody finding the vision, catching the vision, and running with it. Ah! Right? That's how we'll get there. That's how we'll get there. That's how we get there. That's how we get there. We get there by people serving chicken to people's families who passed away. We get there by people picking weeds up out of the mulch and cutting the yard. We get there by folks singing. We get there by folks watching the doors and serving. We get there by loving kids and teenagers. We get there by giving our finances and giving our time and our life. We don't get there on one thing. We get there because we all of us do something. Ha ha ha! Ha ha! That's how we'll get there. Ha ha! Oh my God! Woo! I know it's a Thursday night. I wish you could feel this like I feel this in my spirit. You understand that God brings people in your life for a reason? And we'll talk a little more about that later. But it's no accident, the people that God brings into your life. And if you're too non-discerning to realize, listen, people, God brings people in your life to help you. But you know what? We're so messed up. We're so stirred up. We sabotage every good thing God brings into our life. We spend more time breaking relationships that God brings to our life. And the reason we do is because we don't like the fact that they just tell us the truth. Ha ha. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. You better be thankful for the people that God put in your life that just doesn't dance around the lilies with you, but it loves you enough to tell you the truth in your life and love you enough to tell you what you need to hear. Maybe God brought them to you for a reason. Huh? Ha ha ha. Yeah. But we want to sabotage it. Oh, I'm going to quit. Hallelujah. 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 Write the vision down and make it plain. Them that read it will run with it. Dear God, help us tonight. Mark, would you come? I'm out of breath. I could preach all night. But I'm telling you. You know, I was just praying today. You know, I just, and don't take this wrong. I mean, I want God to really move in our midst of our congregation and our lives. I want you to be blessed. But I'm going to tell you something. If we dwindle down to five people, but if it's five people that seek the counsel of God and five people that'll remain faithful to God, that's a majority when it comes to God. Because all God needed was a shepherd boy that was out in the field, out by himself, taking care of sheep, killing bears and killing lions, while his brothers was up with the prophet and trying to figure out which one was going to be the next king. And a rubby old shepherd boy that was born out of illegitimacy, and his father was so ashamed he left him out in the field. And Samuel's going, no, he's not the one. He's not the one. He's not the one. He's not the one. Is this all your sons? Well, no. I got this little rubby dude out in the back there. And while he's counting them, while he's looking at them, David's down there killing bears, wrestling lions, killing, being faithful to what God has said him to do, writing songs, loving God, praising God in the obscurity of where he is, just waiting for God to have his time right, that he can step into the destiny that God has made for him. And that's what God does when we remain faithful, when we remain faithful to what he asks us to do, when we kill lions and we kill bears and we do what God says to do. I'm telling you, there'll come a day when there'll be a Samuel, when the Holy Spirit will come looking for our church, looking for a church that's faithful to make a change in people's lives.
Hallelujah.
Ha-ha! And Samuel said, this is the one. Ha! Wouldn't you like God to look down on us and say, oh my God, finally, in Madison, I found a group of people that decide to do what God wants them to do. Woo! Hey! Hey! Oh, stand with me. I'm going to quit. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to go kick every one of them windows out in excitement. Oh! Where in the world do we get the idea that we think this thing's about us? The way we think this thing is about who we are. Where do we get the idea that God's going to pick us because we're like Saul, tall and handsome and look good to the people? Huh? Where do we get the idea that no matter what we put outside this building that attracts people, no matter what kind of brick or what kind of steel or what kind of sign or how much money we have, what makes us think that our strength is in ourselves? Where in the world do we get the idea that being handsome and being cute and nice chairs and carpet, all those things are nice, they're good, they're a reflection of excellence that we like. But to think that God's favor is on us because we got padded chairs? I'm telling you, God will move in a building that's got metal chairs that creak, crack, and broke if the people are right. Oh, woo! He just gives us the padded chairs for blessing. I'm telling you, I don't need a glass, nice pulpit like this. I'll preach off a milk crate or a moving truck box. Oh my. I gotta stop, Tom. If I don't, I want you to get to where God wants you to be. But man, we've got to shed some stuff. We've got to be mature in God, man. You've got to recognize people that God brings into your life as gifts and not threats. Woo! Somebody tries to help you in your life, you can't look at them as a threat in your life. God brought them there. God trying to help you with your marriage, trying to help you not be crazy, not kill everybody in your family. Not throw tomatoes at the cops. Get to your job on time. Clock in on time. Be honest. Do a day's work. And when God blesses you with a minimum wage job, you cast that check on Friday and you celebrate that you were faithful. You go down to Wendy's and get you a Frosty and a bag of fries and enjoy it and celebrate that you were faithful. Because when God can trust you with minimum wage and He raises you and you make $1,000 a week, then you can jump up and move up and get you a sandwich with some meat on it. And sit in the parking lot and eat your chips and your sandwich with meat and thank God that He's given you $1,000 a week. Woo. And give God His part. And then you know what's going to happen? One day you're going to wake up and the company that you started out making minimum wage, you're now a partner and you own a thing because you were faithful to God. And now you get to eat steak. Not only do you get to eat steak, but you get to take somebody and bring them with you to come and sit down next to you. And they eat steak and you eat steak too. The problem is, everybody, Father, lift your hands. I mean it. Surrender right this moment to God and the will in His your life. Father, we will not be a church that does not recognize the people that You bring into our lives. We will be faithful in the small things so that You can give us responsibility over the greater things. Father, oh that we would be people who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor do we sit in the seat of the scornful, nor do we criticize those whom You've blessed before us. Our delight is in His law. We will meditate on that thing day and night. And then You'll take us and plant us like a tree, and our roots will grow, and the fruit will grow off that tree, and the nations and the people of the city will come and eat from that tree and be nourished and be encouraged and be strengthened and be loved and be free from that. You'll plant us by the rivers of water to where we never lack sufficiency or never lack anything. You'll bring us forth the fruit in due season, and our leaves shall never wither, nor and everything we do shall prosper. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the seat of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. We surrender tonight, God, to be the kind of people that You want us to be. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You. Church, just begin to thank God. Just begin to lift your voice in gratitude and thanks. Lord, I thank You for the people You brought into my life, the early stages of my life. I thank You for the Michael Ryans and the Tom Craners, the Jacob Aranzas. I thank You for the Kaleidi Keefs. I thank You, God, for the Mike Rickeys. I thank You, God, for the Curtis Hurts. I thank You, God, for the men that You placed in my life, the Jack McKinneys, that encouraged me, that were part of me, that were willing to tell me no when I thought I should say yes, that were willing to tell me I was wrong when I thought I was right. That You brought into my life to bless me and taught me how to manage my money, taught me how to treat my wife, taught me how to walk right, upright before God, how to repent, how to get close with God, how to pray, how to read Your word. I thank You for Seaman Payne, who I used to walk around the church at 6 o'clock every morning, this every day of his life, praying, asking God to bless every preacher, every church member as he walked every day. I thank You for that example. If I could only get to that place in my life. Father, bless this people. So overwhelmed tonight with Your goodness in my life. This Savior, Your graciousness. And I thank You for every battle and every hell that I had to walk through to get to the will of God in my life. And I'm thankful for it. I'd do it again tomorrow. thank you for every person in this room that has had to strive to get where they are in God and had to walk through the hell they've walked through, the price they paid to be where they are in God. And I just pray you bless them.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.